that's so awesome. It's really leveled the playing field. I love that part of this, is that, you know, it really isn't fair. You know, parents who are affluent, they can afford the tutor. They can afford Kumon on the weekends, whatever it is. Maybe they get them the internship. I see that happen over and over in my industry. My friends who are affluent in Silicon Valley, man, their kids get such a leg up. They get these internships at incredible companies. What you've done is made that available to everybody. What you've done could change education in the United States and make us more competitive. Has anybody come to study this and say, I got to do it in my community yet?
Yeah.
Because I caught you in year one. I think that what you've built is going to become the standard.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by Squarespace. Turn your idea into a new website. Go to squarespace.com/twist for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code TWIST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Northwest Registered Agent. Northwest Registered Agent will form your business quickly and easily. For just $39 plus state fees, Northwest will handle your complete business identity, name, address, mail service, phone, email, website, and domain. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/twist today. And lemon.io. Hire pre-vetted remote developers. Get 15% off your first 4 weeks of developer time at lemon.io/twist.
All right, everybody, welcome back to This Week in Startups. I am obsessed with what jobs will be available for our kids. Now, it's not just because I have three daughters, 2 8-year-olds and a 14-year-old, that I'm interested in this, but it is a big part of it. I'm wondering, how do I prepare my own kids for the future? We got ChatGPT. Everybody's saying jobs are going away. And my Lord, college seems like it's disconnected in many ways from the job market. I know this because at my venture firm launch, we invest in 100 companies and I watch who startup companies are hiring. And you know what? They're hiring half as many people and they're twice as productive this year as they were 3 years ago. And so you're going to have to be entrepreneurial. You're going to have to take the bull by the horns. You're going to have to, I believe in the future, be able to learn and navigate this crazy professional world, you know, in some way that's different than Gen X did or even millennials. So I was just reading about education and I stumbled upon a person who was taking careers and education and putting them together in a way that I had never seen. His name is Dr. Justin Terry, and he's the superintendent of the Forney Independent School District and the mastermind of the OC Project. Dr. Terry, welcome to This Week in Startups.
Glad to be here, Jason, and thanks for the invitation, and I look forward to our discussion today for sure.
So, tell me what you've built in the great state of Texas, right? This is in Texas, correct?
Yes, it is. We're in Forney, which is just a little bit about us. We're about 20 miles east of Dallas and in a suburb. And we sit as the gateway into the fastest growing county in the nation right now. So we're extremely fast growth. And, you know, we're a booming town, booming bedroom community. And so we tried something new in education, and I appreciate the nice words that this is my mastermind. But you know, we just had an idea that we had a great community and board, and a lot of teammates put a lot of time and effort into this to create something pretty special. Can't wait to talk to you about it.
Maybe we'll pull up a couple of images here, and you can describe what you and your team. It takes a team. Yeah, I don't want to give you solo credit for it, but I understand you're the mastermind. So take a look at some of these pictures. Tell everybody what you built. Some people are listening, some people are watching. So.
Sure thing. You know, I was visiting with somebody the other day about this, and to, you know, to give an elevator speech about this facility is pretty challenging because the building we built is really a first of its kind, and how we operate it is also the first in the nation in the way that we do it. It's, if you can believe, it's about a 350,000 square foot facility, and, you know, our it is really three levels, but has so many different components to it. It's a gorgeous building, as you can see, but You know, it's basically the first floor, you know, as you come in is open to the public, which makes us really unique. The facility really focuses on three C's, what we call three C's, and it's career, college, and community. And that community aspect is really what makes this facility different than other trade schools or college and career facilities that you've probably seen and heard of in the past, because our goal is, and we just had this idea that, hey, what if not only are we teaching kids these great career pathways, but what if we could put them in the experience right there in that same facility? And that our community is a part of our small businesses and startups, and maybe even we create our own, that they're part of that educational process, that they're part of the learning for our younger generation as they begin to go into the workforce. So it's three stories. We built basically a mall on the first floor, if you can believe it, and then a two-story school on top of it. It's got a 7,900-seat arena in the middle. It's got a
7,900-seat. Is a theater like the size of the theater at Madison Square Garden, Beacon in New York, Radio City Music Hall. I mean, you can do a really big event. And for people who are not watching, go to YouTube.com and just search for This Week in Startups. It looks like it's more beautiful than a mall, but this gorgeous glass enclosure, and the first floor is retail. Around it are all the homes in the area, I assume, here?
You know, we've got a lot of room to grow. If you can believe, you see all that open land. We're working on some ideas and plans for what that could be and how we could develop community around it. But we do have a lot of homes that surround this. So
on the first floor is a retail experience. On the second and third floor are classrooms for people to learn. And what ages are here? Is this high school, college, trade school? What's the age range in this giant 350,000 square foot facility?
Well, you're going to laugh at this, but our goal is that we can educate and people can come to learn from 3 years old, because we have a pre-K center, all the way up to 103 years old, and everything in between.
Okay. What is it today? Is it college kids or high school kids?
So right now we serve, we have a pre-K center of about 400 plus 3 and 4 year olds. And obviously we're growing teachers, right? So they get the opportunity to go over there and experience that. An intern, but we also educate mainly 10 through 12th graders. We're about to kick off some college classes and different things like that for bachelor's, master's, doctorate programs. And we got another program called Engage, again, that really focuses even on senior adults and things like that, that's about to roll out.
All right, startups, you ever notice how successful businesses are constantly evolving? They're constantly adding new features and you get that product velocities. Well, that's why I am all in on Squarespace, and you should be too. My pals at Squarespace keep adding new features and revolutionizing their platform all the time, week after week, month after month, year after year. And they've added AI. Squarespace Blueprint AI is amazing. It's their guided design system for building a new website. It's fast, it's custom, and it's built specifically for your business needs. They've put over 1 billion design combinations right at your fingertips. And so you get an online presence that's as unique as your brand. We used it to build our Founder University website. The process was so simple. Basically, the AI prompts you with some questions, and then the Blueprint AI took control, tailoring everything to our needs, from website structure to color schemes, from design elements to my favorite, fonts. And boom, within minutes, we had a sleek new website design ready to go. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. AI is changing everything. And this Blueprint AI tool is something to behold. Check out squarespace.com/twist for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/twist to get 10% off your first website or domain purchase. That's squarespace.com/twist. So the community rallied behind this. You build this 350,000 square foot facility. What's in the retail area? Are these the same stores? Are they pop-up stores? Are you learning to be a barber or chef? Are you starting your own direct to consumer store or product line? Tell me what you're doing with that retail space. And then you're saying it's open to the public, so consumers can come there to interact. So let's get inside the retail space.
Absolutely. And you know what also makes this facility different is most schools are open from 8 to 4 and then they're empty, you know, before and after schools and Saturdays and Sundays. And this building's actually open from 7 a.m. till 9 p.m., 6 days a week, about to expand to 7. And so the answer to your question earlier was, Yes, all of the above. The inspiration, one of the inspirational places that we looked at was actually the Container Park in Vegas. It's kind of some of the inspiration behind this.
Yeah, that was my friend Tony Shea's Container Park that he built in downtown Las Vegas from Zappos. So, small world. He was one of my best friends. He's been on the show multiple times. Rest in peace, Tony Shea from Zappos.
Love to connect with him at some point in time.
No, he passed away tragically. Passed away. Yeah. You know, he's got a great legacy in he wrote the book Delivering Happiness, and he did all these extraordinary things with spaces, and he believed in collisions. And the concept of collisions was, you know, if you have different people bump into each other, great things can happen. And you have retail here combined with teachers, community members, the theater, maybe people go see a show, and all that kind of comes together. So walk me through what you have there in the retail space.
Sure. So we have really three different types of spaces that we have. Some are, we've actually created our own businesses inside of our school district that are either our kids help design and run, with our goal being that we have pop-ups in the future that they've really, started an incubator for that hopefully they begin to grow into our community. And then we have lease spaces that some of our local businesses, engage in. And then we have sponsored spaces as well that some of our partners just want to be a part, and they need to grow their workforce as well.
Got it. So I see here some of the experiences. Are these the experiences that are currently happening? Martin's Automotive, Southern Martin's Social Eatery, Pine and Home Decor and Lighting. Tell me about some of these experiences.
Sure. So some of what you see here, some of the local businesses that have come in, and Martin's Automotive, for example, if you can picture, a 4 or 5 bay automotive center that you can drive up into, and, 2 bays are teaching Forney ISD and Dallas College courses. And then the other 2 bays that are Martin's Automotive, and they're running a satellite business out of. And, the great thing is our kids, it's not just a separate classroom. They're just going back and forth.
Okay.
And learning from each other. That's how it works.
Let me see if I get this correctly. You have a business that already exists, a barbecue, a floral store, a florist. They decide, hey, you're going to put them inside this retail space. They get a good deal on the retail space, maybe, or it's just, market rate.
Well, so we have a couple different models for that. And so basically what we do is look at market square footage, whether it's a salon or, culinary space or automotive or just a retail, type setup. And then the more students that they agree in our partnership to serve, the lower their rent per square footage.
Oh, my goodness. So that's incredible. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but finding people to work in retail establishments, restaurants, bakeries, even finding mechanics, this type of employee has been hard. We have the lowest unemployment of our lifetime. Justin, you look like we're about the same age here.
Right.
Maybe Gen Xers. Like, we lived through 10, 15% unemployment in our lifetime. Now we're down at 3, 4, 5%. They must be pretty happy with you getting them somebody to work in those bays, correct?
Well, yeah, it's a really unique partnership because we're able to provide workforce. I can tell you a story. We have a coffee shop there, White Rhino. It's about their 13th location in Dallas. And, I was watching one day, and we have kids that go in and intern throughout the day. Well, some of his early morning workers didn't show up, and there's a line out the door. Well, 3 or 4 of our kids who have been interning, they see him, he's in need of help. They just walk behind the counter, and they're functioning just like clockwork. So we're providing workforce, we're building workforce, but we're also creating daytime traffic for these guys. So it's almost built-in customers as well. So it really is a great partnership when it comes to the business and how we function together.
Tell me which careers, paths have been the most successful to date, and how long have you been doing this for?
So we just opened this year, and it is it's been kind of a soft opening that we're kind of rolling out small pieces as we go. And what we do is there's not necessarily a pathway in education right now for example, Pine and Ivy home lighting and decor, right?
But course is that? Yeah. Like math, physics, like lighting and decor. I mean, maybe it's in the theater interior club, design. Interior sure. design, but you, yep. I don't remember in high school interior design existing, but interior design there's hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people who work in that category in America.
And so our goal is not necessarily to put them in a stagnant pathway that's very limiting, but it's to take all of the careers, and we, whether it's a veterinarian we're trying to create, teach, or we can teach great cosmetology, we can teach somebody how to change oil, but what we realize is that, you know, if you can't run a successful business down the road, it doesn't do you much good. And so we're running a parallel pathway of what we call entrepreneurship or future ready skills.
Ah.
And so it doesn't matter what business you're in, you can have that experience. So our kids, whatever career path they're in, they might go into Pine and Ivy and work on marketing or the books behind or advertising. She tells a great story of how our kids have come in and taught her TikTok, for example. And the next thing you know, they're tagging the right areas, and her online sales go up tremendously. And so they're learning from each other, but our kids are getting this vast amount of experience in all of these different settings.
Is there some origin story to this? I know in Japan, there is a very popular theme park. And what this theme park does is you go there as a kid, and you can dress up as a firefighter, a dentist, a teacher, a chef, and literally you go do these careers. Right. And what they've done in this Japanese amusement park is, instead of like going to Disney and playing Star Wars characters or whatever it happens to be, got nothing wrong with any of those, Pirates of the Caribbean, it's a small world, those are great rides. But the rides in this theme park in Japan are careers. Was that part of the inspiration by chance, or how did you manifest this in the world? Is there an origin story here that we should be aware of?
Well, I mean, you kind of kicked it off with some of the same ideas we had. And so we started with a futurist, if you can believe that, and said, hey, come help us figure out what the future of education and workforce looks like and what the needs are going to be. And he was really upfront with us. And he said, well, first off, it's got to be integrated. And these jobs are going to revolve around different areas of skills that I think, 60% of our second graders or something like that are going to be working in jobs that don't exist today. And so as the workforce evolves, you know, it may be entertainment oriented, for example, which we are really expanding our career pathways into. So to say that there's a foundation, I think we really are not trying to look backwards. We're trying to look forwards and how to prepare these kids for 20 years down the road.
So some futurist you engaged, you said, hey, tell me about the future rotation. Who was this futurist? Is this like, I didn't know futurist was like a thing.
Yes, a futurist are a thing. They are Tom Houle, H-O-U-L-E. He's out of Sarasota, does great work. And we actually brought him as part of our strategic planning approach. And he really kind of gave us, scared my committee to death, first off, about what the future is going to look like. They're walking out of there asking for when Jesus is coming, I think, with all some of the things he's talking about. But it is... It was really eye-opening to get us out of the traditional approach to workforce and what the skills that our kids need. Reading, writing, and arithmetic is really important, right? They're basic skills we all need. But how about how to tell your story and personal finance and advertising and marketing and communication and all those skills? That's really the vital thing that we've got to begin to layer into education, no doubt.
And how to interact with a customer.
That's right.
And how to understand a customer's needs. I mean, something as basic as that, you know, once you've done it, my Lord, it opens up a world of possibilities. And then you mentioned marketing, right, and meeting people there halfway to understand that. What's the youngest age that you've had a child get involved with business and entrepreneurship? Where's the youngest group? Because I could see I have 8-year-olds and they ask me questions about my day job all the time. So what's the age you think folks will start doing this stuff? My dad had me polishing silverware at the age of 6 in the restaurant in Brooklyn. So,
I mean, I was running my own baseball card, company at 10. I get it. All right. I mean, so we got to find where they connect. But it's got to be intentional as well. We've created, we're trying to teach personal finance in kindergarten and grow that up. Right. So we've created some core courses in 5th through 8th grade, for example, to begin to teach these skills to prepare them for this facility. And it's going down to kindergarten here in the next few years. But I'll give you a good example. We've got a business we partnered with, and every partnership we have is unique. It's just about meeting each other's needs and finding a win-win for both. And, one of them is kind of an artisan market. And what the partnership we said was, well, what if we took part of your store and let the students create their own product and began to sell that product? So We call
like
them
like an in-person Etsy, right? Something
yeah,
to that effect.
Right, yeah, yeah, right. So they're they have to, you know, we had 60 applicants, I think, right off the bat, all the way down to elementary school throughout our district. And, you know, they had to propose their idea in a business plan approach and, you know, present their idea. And then they get a 60-40 split with the owner. So they're understanding, you know, they're understanding how the business functions and reacts to, you know, what products they have out there.
Okay. Are you ready to launch your business without the headache? Well, with Northwest Registered Agent, you can set up your entire business identity in one place. In just 10 clicks and 10 minutes, you'll have your business officially formed and ready to go. They take care of everything, giving you a complete business identity setup. This means an address, a phone line, a website, hosting, and a free domain, all under one roof. You need a trademark? They got you covered with their own law firm, Law on Call. They offer full services at an incredibly affordable rate without the usual runaround. And if you're worried about privacy, well, rest assured, because everything is covered by Northwest Privacy by Default, where they handle everything in-house so your personal data stays protected. And unlike others, they don't sell your info to affiliates. Northwest Registered Agent isn't just a service, it's your startup's new best friend. They've created a new agency, a true one-stop shop for business formation and more. So here's the CTA, the call to action. Northwest loves supporting startups as much as we do here at This Week in Startups, and they're offering our listeners a $39 complete business formation pack. For just $39 plus state fees, Northwest will handle your complete business identity, getting you up and running in no time. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/twist today to get that great offer. northwestregisteredagent.com/twist today. Is the vision here that the facilities you've created, because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wait a second, you got public dollars to do this? You got the government to do this, right? This isn't a private enterprise.
That's correct. The school district owns the facility. We have we had a bond committee come together and they said, let's build a college and career center to serve our kids. And we plus that, I think, and we really brought community and some of the needs of the community into it. We're a bedroom community, so we needed retail, for example.
How long did that take for you to get this through? Because I'm from the formerly great state of California. I grew up in New York. We are completely dysfunctional in California. We cannot build a bathroom. Like, literally, we built a bathroom in San Francisco for $1.7 million. You can look it up. One bathroom. Now, you've built what I think is the most innovative educational experience, perhaps in the world. You have a theater and you have retail. Those things are going to generate revenue. That revenue, I believe, would be enough to underwrite the cost of the school, perhaps. Does that pencil out? Because that, a 6,000-7,000 square foot theater, I mean, you get start having comedians come there. Now you're running like a casino in Vegas style facility that, you know, I mean, we're not gaming there, but the fact is, like, you could have Adele or somebody come there sing. You could have Chris Rock, a comedian, come there. You could have Joe Rogan do a podcast there and sell tickets for $100. This thing could be making $500,000 a week, $1 million a week just doing shows.
You know, I think the key word there is opportunity, and it's limitless. And as you described, and one of the core tenets of the facility is that every square foot is multi-purposed and multifunctional. So you're right. We needed, you know, we don't have entertainment out here, and we don't have components like, you know, meeting spaces. We have a WeWork built into the front. You know, we have
rentals. WeWork?
Well, basically, yeah. It's called The Mix.
Okay, so you have a co-working space there as well.
It's a co-working space up at the front. It's sponsored by Huckabee Architects, and they, you know, you can come and you'll see a group that they'll bring their business in, writing on the whiteboards, and you'll have a realtor bring their client in, and you'll have some teachers hanging out. You'll have some kids working on a project, and it's called The Mix. And because intentionally it is that co-working space. And so we can serve anywhere from 2 all the way up to 7,900 and every venue in between.
Amazing.
And yeah. So, I mean, we can hold large concerts and graduations and conventions in the Vera Arena, but the theater is kind of it's a really unique space. That's actually the arena there. You can kind of see it aside. Well,
this is the arena, so that's where you'd have a sporting event.
But I'll talk about that while you get it pulled up, if that's all right, because this kind of describes the multifunctional aspects. But every one of those seats moves. And so you can see kind of on that, you know, when all the bleachers are pulled back, you got 8 volleyball courts there, so we can host, recreation. The second deck there, they drive forward and backwards, and behind them are pickleball courts. you know, taekwondo. So we rent those out, you know, to different groups in our community, but it's also recreational opportunities. So banquet spaces on the backside, you saw that. They all drive forward and backwards.
Fantastic.
So, we opened this thing with about a 5,000 or 6,000 person, you know, concert. And, you know, it was a really cool community event, bringing that many people together. The theater, basically what it is, about a 10,000 square foot massive black box, but everything, again, we can put it into quarters, we can make it halves, we can have we had a great thrust setting for theater and have a performance there for community theater. We have, you know, cup stacking competitions for Junior Olympics. And the next thing you know, we got pro wrestling in the middle of it. That's being rented out, and it's pretty unique space. It's all flippable and moldable to whatever the need is at the time. But there is definitely an opportunity to really build economic development throughout our community for sure.
From inception, you know, when you had this great idea working with this futurist, trying to close the gap between what graduates are going to experience when they start their careers and what they're learning in school, and you just basically smashed it together. From that brilliant insight and then planning to breaking ground to opening this year, tell me about the timeline that you got this done in.
Well, I had a crazy idea probably about 10 or 11 years ago that what if you could learn on the second floor and put it into practice and experience on the first floor? And that idea has just blossomed. And that was probably 10 or 11 years ago from, you know, design. Probably, you know, we started probably 4 years ago on that. And then the build itself was about a 18 month and now ongoing up to 2 years to finish out some of the final components of it.
Wow.
But it's,
just to let people, you know, in California, you would basically be in court right now fighting over what frog or, you know, tree, butterfly you were going to destroy with this building. And you would have everybody fighting over the shade that you were throwing, not the shade you were throwing with your words, but literally people stop buildings because it's going to put shade on something. This is what's amazing about Texas. Elon built the Gigafactory in 18 months. You built this thing in 18 months. Man, in Texas, you get stuff done.
Well, you know, we do. And we go. And again, it starts with a really supportive community, which we have here. And, you know, there's a cool story about the cost of the build, too, I think.
Please. Yes, tell me.
Probably is something unique. You know, we built this thing. And at the same time we were bidding it out, you know, we went ahead and priced out like a comprehensive high school for the same type of enrollment. And it's about $100 million cheaper to build this facility with all the extra components that we've got built in. So it's a pretty cool
story. Explain why it's so much cheaper to build this.
Well, it starts with the multifaceted approach that we've taken. Some of the larger venues that we can put, you know, students into to integrate through. We got you know, that pre-K center, for example, it doesn't have a kitchen. So we use a commissary and pipe food in to kind of save costs, but also to create flexible spacing. So we just did some unique things to really use space the right way and use it for a lot of different things.
And it's revenue generating. So some amount of the revenue, how much of the budget of the facility gets covered by ultimately the revenue? Like, let's say you had this thing cranking, all the retail space rented out, you know, in the theater, you know, at a solid capacity, a reasonable capacity, how much of the budget would get covered by, you know, that commerce occurring in this multi-use space?
Well, I think that's still a story to be told as we open. You know, our goal is, you know, with everything we're doing is to cover overhead on operations and things, but it's already starting to exceed that. So I think that's going to be a story that we continue to keep track of and tell. But I think the bigger revenue generating component is really the economic commerce and development with the community as a whole. You know, because we're bringing in, think about it, you know, let's say you had a concert or volleyball, you know, tournament. I mean, think about the people that are coming from the outside in.
People are taking
dollars
buses
into our community. That's right.
Yeah. Now you're a destination.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah, this is a cool program we offer too, the Engage program. And this is what I was talking about really having something for everybody. And really, we allow our community to put, you know, pitch ideas of, or in our teachers, you know, they don't make enough money, you know that. And So they're able to pitch ideas to come in and actually create their own little service or course
that
they're teaching. And so you can kind of see some of those. There's a Disney
planning.
So an
English teacher can say, hey, I want to do this creative writing. Somebody who's in hospitality or in film, they can go do film. And these are the teachers who get to be a little entrepreneurial themselves, make a little 10% extra on their salary, 20% extra on their salary, get a little pocket change, yeah?
Yeah, you got it. And the kids too. I mean, they can do this as well. You know, community, you name it. And so, and teachers don't have to teach English and creative writing. I mean, those are a lot of those courses, you know, if they can sew or crochet and they think somebody'd be interested in that, great. Put the idea in and make some money off the facility for yourself and let's keep our teachers around.
So the whole community has been activated to be entrepreneurial, including the teachers. And you don't resent them for having a side hustle. You celebrate them for being entrepreneurial.
That's right. You invite them and you market them and you, you know, and that's one of the cool things, you know, just from an educational standpoint is it's not just us as a school district trying to tell a story about what we do. You know, the businesses are, you know, the community members are, they're bragging about this facility, telling the great things going on. And it's really been a unique experience and it's working. It really is.
There's a ton of space in Texas. You got a ton of space around this facility.
Yeah.
I'm curious, have you considered housing? Because when people do these multifaceted spaces now, they're always like, hey, let's put some housing, let's put some retail, let's put some community. Okay, you've taken this to a whole nother level. You got education and community spaces, the theater, entertainment. But I don't see housing here. But, you know, teachers have a hard time with housing. And man, finding great teachers, if you said to them, hey, we're going to give you housing within a bike ride of the school and the facility, and we're going to give you a deal. Hey, we'll give you a 0% mortgage on it, or we'll underwrite half the cost or a third of the cost. Man, people could come here as a destination. You could steal great teachers from around the country to fly in and move in, and you just house them or give them a discount.
I mean, I think you're seeing, can't spoil all the surprise because we got to come back and talk to you again, right?
Yeah,
in the future, Jason.
Yeah, so for sure.
Let's just say that the OC that in its current state is really, if you want to think of it, is kind of phase one. We sit on about 300 or 400 acres out there that we could potentially do some really creative things with, as you're describing. And, you know, residential would be one of those feature.
Yeah.
How about police, fire? You know, could we do some housing? But also, there's a lot of components that can't be done from a community standpoint, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you know, within that facility as it is. So there may need to be some additional spaces, some different spaces, but. What if the concept stayed the same, right? That we're integrating career, college, and community in every type of space. May need a hotel one day, a restaurant, hotel management. What about you know, medical plaza or something like that, to where we can begin to even engage in those experiences for our kids in our community?
In a way, you're looking at this and saying, let's take life writ large, you know, the whole concept of living in a town. And you're saying, hey, what if education, you know, tracked all the aspects of life? Hey, a hospital, an emergency clinic. Now somebody can learn to be a nurse, nurse practitioner, an EMT. I mean, all of those things could be adjacent. And this is for public school and trade schools and everything. And then a hotel, what a brilliant concept. Hey, you come to the theater, stay for the hotel, you stay overnight, maybe go to the restaurants. And it's really like a platform you're building. What I thought was most interesting was this ability to have some spaces that could rotate and be experimental, because when you can, retail is hard. You got to make a couple year commitment. But if the students can take something over for a month before Thanksgiving or Halloween, seasonal stuff, Mother's Day, they can make all kinds of interesting pop-up experiences. Has the pop-up stuff started yet? And what's the early result of that?
Yeah, so we're doing small pop-ups. I kind of mentioned a couple of those on proposing different things from our students into a good setting or a service, you know, experience. They're doing, our students are running a lot of just, like, for example, Blooms is our florist that we run as a district. And, you know, they'll do a pop-up, you know, wreath making setup, and the kids will run that. And I should have mentioned this, all of our students are making money for themselves here in all of these different experiences that we're offering.
Wait a second. You come to school.
Yes.
And you leave with you get a paycheck at the same time.
You got it. And you're getting college education and workforce credit at the same time and in our partnership for no cost.
That's amazing. So maybe minimum wage or something just to, while you're at school, or it's like a stipend? How does that work? I'm curious.
So we do a mixture of both. I got to be careful how I word this from the public sector for sure. But conceptually, do wage for sure. But what if a student creates I'll stick with the floral concept. If they create a bouquet and, you know, they design that, create that, then they're getting part of that profit off of that sale.
Okay. So unlimited upside there, like a lemonade stand. So when we look at a lemonade stand on steroids, hey, you run a lemonade stand, we all did it. You have a paper route, you start learning about the economics of work here. Hey, I have an idea for a wreath. And a wreath class, and here's the cost, here's the profit. Maybe I get a little wet my beak, as we say in the business, get a little taste.
Right. And, you know, they do events too, just staying with that same concept. So if they recruit the event in, obviously they'll get a little more of that profit for a wedding that they're going to go out and do, or whatever it may be. So it's teaching all aspects, know, and what we're hoping is we can get to the point and we're learning every day with this facility because it's never been done. But, you know, kiosks are something really common in a mall, and we see that as a next phase for a true pop-up for students that can really create and design and develop their own, and not just the district that they're having to work within that, you know, kind of an entrepreneurial setting, but more of literally their own team business that they can create and run. So that's coming soon to a kiosk near you. How about that?
I love it. There are national brands that would love to develop workforce. So a Starbucks, a Target, a Walmart, but pick the brand. You know, they need to have trained people. Sweetgreens, I had the founder of Sweetgreens on the podcast this year. You know, he needs managers for these Sweetgreens salad restaurants. Now, you put a Sweetgreens salad in there, I can connect you with the CEO if you like, offline. But imagine you had a management training program of how to run an In-N-Out Burger or, you know, a Buc-ee's, whatever. And so you run a little Buc-ee's in there, but you're learning to be the manager, right? Like, you learn all aspects. They might actually pay you, you know, to run a program like that. Have the national brands, the bigger brands, the Starbucks of the world started to get hip to what you're doing yet and maybe want to engage there?
We're always looking for partners, Jason.
Okay.
So we don't have a national brand that's engaged just yet. You know, I think in the future, that's something we definitely would be interested in looking at. But as you said, I mean, the great thing about that facility and maybe some additional facilities in the future around that land is, you know, we got room to grow. We got room to flip and change. Another component and facet of this facility is it's future-proofed. That as workforce changes and needs change, that we can change that facility and the programs within it.
Right now, startups have to do more with less. We all know that. And founders have to be smart with how they deploy capital. Investors are very tuned in to being capital efficient. So if you need great tech talent, but you don't have the time to interview dozens and dozens and dozens of candidates, you need to check out Lemon.io. They have thousands of on-demand developers to choose from. And these devs are vetted, and their experience, and most of all, they're results-oriented. They're going to get you the result you're looking for. They're not going to leave you hanging. And guess what? They charge competitive rates. Great developers can be incredibly hard to find. We all know that. And when you do find them, it can be hard to integrate them into your team, but Lemon.io will handle all of that for you. Startups choose Lemon.io because they only offer handpicked developers with 3 or more years of experience and strong portfolios. In fact, only 1% of candidates who apply get in. And if something ever goes wrong, Lemon.io will get you a replacement ASAP. A couple of launch founders have worked with Lemon.io, and they've had great experiences. So here's your call to action. Go to lemon.io/twist to find your perfect developer or tech team in 48 hours or less. And Twist listeners get 15% off their first 4 weeks. Stop burning money. Hire developers smarter. Visit lemon.io/twist. Let me ask you how the students are adapting to it. This is year 2 or year 1 of enrollment for these kids?
Year 1.
Okay. This is very exciting because we do have an issue with people dropping out. We got kids who are anxious. They skip school. We got this COVID generation who got really weird because they had to stay home. Maybe not as much in Texas, but here in California, man, kids got weird. Parents too. Everybody got a little weird being cooped up for 2 years. What has it been like for them? Tell me about like the students and the stories you see there. you know, delinquency, you know, it would seem to me, I was very entrepreneurial. And if I could come to a school and make a little bit of money, man, I wouldn't have left the school. I would have been there 7 days a week. So Tell me what this has done to the student body. How are they reacting?
Yeah, it's been an awesome experiment. It really has. And not just in the workforce side, but even on the social side. And I'll speak to both if that's all right. But you know what? We put these kids, we dropped them in a completely new environment that they never have been in before. They're used to, you know, walking halls and, you know, having to go bell to bell. There's no bells in this facility, obviously. You know, and they have freedoms and the ability to do different things based on what their need is for that day. So they have really engaged. In fact, one of the auto, Martin's Automotive that we have in there, he actually had a son that was just that story that dropped out before. And he really wanted to be this partner because he never wanted to see that again. And we've got kids now engaging in those programs that are you know, coming to school, engaging at a level they've never done before. But we're also, as you said, the rebound from COVID created a lot of new behaviors, let's just call it, in the not only in schools, but in the world. And, you know, we hadn't had one fight in this facility, period. You know, we don't have behaviors in this facility because the kids, you know, they're adapting to that environment. When you've got a group of business people standing right beside you, you know, I've got more adults in this facility with eyes on kids and growing kids than any facility we've got in the school district. So it's a whole nother level of just the students responding to the environment they're in. And it is, it's been awesome. The kids are doing great.
This is really important because in a school, you traditionally have like, you know, one or two adults, well, 20, 30 kids. The kids are going to model the other kids' behavior. Here you have business. Kids model what they see around them. And if there's three or four people who are running a business and there's 10 students in there and it's 3-1, you don't want to get kicked out and go to a regular school. If you got this dope school where you can go and learn and make a little money and get your career, these kids are smart. They realize this is an opportunity, I bet. And they don't want the person who's running the store they want to work in to be like, you know what? You started a fight or you got loud or you said something inappropriate to a customer. We don't need you here. We have options. And you know what? You're teaching them the real world consequences of their behavior. They get freedom, but there's responsibility. And this is what we as parents, I don't know, you have kids?
That's right. I do. I have three. Yes.
I mean, we all want it. We want them to be, as a goal, to be independent and strong and survive in the world. That is our jobs. At some point, they walk away from us, and you know you did a good job if they don't turn and run back or don't turn and they're scared.
Right.
As tough as it is to watch your kid walk away, but if they walk away confidently, you did your job as a parent.
You're dead on. And I really do think it's this gradual release of responsibility. And you know, the kids, the students, they respond to that. They respond to you giving them some responsibility. Sir. And yes, they're going to make mistakes, just like you and I did. We all have done that. But that's how we learn. And you know, these are not, you know, you have to apply to get into this school. These are, the doors are open. We take one and all from our school, our campuses.
Oh, okay.
This is both of our campuses. We have two high schools and, you know, they both come together into this facility. But to get into a program where you're in a practicum and getting paid for that, you have to apply. You can get fired. They're learning that aspect as part of their class as well.
It might be the most important part of this is, you know, bridging that gap between, hey, you have to go to school, the teachers are, you know, lording in their perception, kids, like, oh, these teachers are giving us a hard time. Oh, we got to do homework. And then it's like, or I can try to get this dope internship and I could be, you know, learning a skill, making some money. And then I got a weekend job. I mean, kids are going to respond to this. And I would think the kids, you know, we talk a lot about the wealth gap in the United States. We talk about the opportunity gap. You know, kids who have less, and I came from a lower middle class family in Brooklyn, we had less than the kids in Manhattan. So we worked harder, we hustled harder, we appreciated any opportunity we got. It's kind of counterintuitive because you think, oh, these are the bad kids, these are the kids who are causing trouble. And we were causing a little bit of trouble on the street, I'll be honest. But once we got opportunities, that took our energy. So maybe you could tell me about like rich kids, middle-class kids, kids who are from poorer families, how are they responding to this? And is this something that maybe we could help make the world a little bit more? People talk about equity or quality. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about opportunity here. Is this closing the opportunity gap in your mind?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, the key to me is finding something to connect and engage our students, finding something they're interested in and letting them run, right? As you talked about earlier. And, you know, I couldn't tell you what kid goes to what high school or what, you know, affluency or low socioeconomic. You can't tell the difference. They're all functioning and working in that environment together.
Fantastic.
And, you know, they all engage at a different level just based on their interests. So it really is, like I said, it's been a really cool social experiment to watch, and it's working.
Feels like a great equalizer to me, if I'm being honest, because if you are running the florist or a restaurant or, you know, a coffee shop or a co-working space, you get five kids. The kids in Manhattan, their dads and moms got them the internships at Condé Nast or whatever. They just had such a leg up, and we had to like fight our way in. But here, you know, you've kind of leveled the opportunity. Like you said, you don't even know. You don't know which is a rich kid, which is a poor kid, which is a middle-class kid, who's got a trust fund, who doesn't. They all have to come in, and they got to do a great job, and they got to make that employer, that manager, think this person is doing a great job for our customers and delighting our customers and is a responsible human being. That's so awesome. It's really leveled the playing field. I love that part of this, is that, you know, it really isn't fair. You know, parents who are affluent, they can afford the tutor. They can afford Kumon on the weekends, whatever it is. Maybe they get them the internship. I see that happen over and over in my industry. My friends who are affluent in Silicon Valley, man, their kids get such a leg up. They get these internships at incredible companies. What you've done is made that available to everybody. What you've done could change education in the United States and make us more competitive. And I am so proud and enamored with what you do. And I invest in the greatest entrepreneurs in the world as my day job. I saw what you were doing, and I said, I told my producers, find me the person responsible for this piece of brilliance. What you've done is so tremendous. And has anybody come to study this and say, I got to do it in my community yet?
Yeah.
Because I caught you in year one. I think that what you've built is going to become the standard.
Well, and we hope that, you know, it does begin to transform not just education in Forney, but throughout the, you know, Texas and the world. That's our goal. We've already had, you know, visitors, school districts and architectural firms and a few businesses all the way from Vegas to Tampa Bay and everything in between. And so we've gotten to the point, honestly, where we're getting so many tours and interest that we've set up some site visits that people can sign up to come to and learn how we did it. And I think it's not something you just take and can and put somewhere else. It's about, you know, meeting the needs, but also just looking at things in a different way. And meeting the needs of the community that you're in. And it doesn't matter if you're a tiny little school district, you can do something like this, you know, or a massive urbanized, you know, district. There's a lot of opportunities. And, you know, I think it's about just finding the right niche for your community, and then taking a chance at it, and it's risk. There's no doubt about it, but you know, it's working, and we hope that, and we'll be happy to share how to come and visit the OC, because we can show you pictures, but until you actually walk this facility, you really don't understand it. And so, Jason, one day I'm gonna tour you when you come to Texas.
Oh no, you know, listen, ready. I got family in Texas. I'm in Austin all the time.
Let's go.
I find myself in Houston once in a while, and I know you're somewhere within spitting distance of those locations. So I am coming down to see this facility. I am so thrilled by what you're doing, because I love entrepreneurship, and I believe that America is best represented by the state of Texas right now. And I think I lived in three of the greatest cities in this country: New York City, Los Angeles, and the Bay Area, San Francisco. I lived in three amazing cities. What I'm seeing in Texas, the enthusiasm, the entrepreneurship, and the boldness, to me, is the best of America. And this is what we need. We need entrepreneurship. Because I can tell you right now, I am watching startups, and they are sending jobs to Manila. They're automating them. They're, you know, sending them to Canada, to other places where people appreciate work, where people are lower, there's a lower cost, and we can do things remotely. So America, really, to stay competitive, is we need to get our students, our children, more confident, and we have to make them love entrepreneurship. And right now there's like I feel there's a little battle going on. People who believe in socialism, communism, they don't believe in capitalism, they don't believe in entrepreneurship. And I don't know what the reason is, but what you're doing is letting them know entrepreneurship is open to everybody. You don't need to work for somebody else. You could be the boss. And here's the path. Rich kids, man, their parents show them all the path. They open the book and they're like, here's the playbook. I did it. All my friends did it. We'll start you on third base. All you got to do is make it home. You're doing is taking every student and you're starting them on second base. At least in year one, you're starting them at second base. Because if they know how to behave at work, they know what jobs are like. At the ages of 13, 14, 15, they are going to crush it. The greatest gift I ever got was my dad made me work in his restaurant like a dog, doing every position. That made me fearless. You're doing that for an entire community. What you're doing is amazing, Dr. Terry. I am enamored with it, and I salute you and the great state of Texas for getting this done. This is a lesson for New York and these other cities, California, New York. You got to move faster. You got to be bold. You got to try things like this and get the red tape out of the way.
That's right. And, you know, and like you said, I think it's the future, but, you know, I really believe our nation was founded on, you know, two of those tenets you just talked about. Public education is the great equalizer, but entrepreneurship.
Yes.
I mean, we were founded on that, but it's also our future. And we've got to continue to embrace both of those, you know, to ensure that everybody has that equal opportunity to do great things. You know, it's one thing to be an entrepreneur and start your business, but those same skills work inside of large corporations. You know, Google talks about that all the time, right? They want entrepreneurs. They want those same skill sets and mindsets. So it is, I think it's vital to our success today and in the future for sure.
I wish you the best. I'm going to check in with you 1 year from today. We're going to put you on the schedule to get an update. And I am guaranteeing you in the next year, I'm going to come down there and we're going to do an episode live. I want to come down there. I want to see this for myself. This is the greatest thing I've seen in education in a long time.
Well, Jason, I appreciate
so,
it.
So excited.
We got a podcast studio that's about to open just for you. So we're going to be ready whenever you are.
I am going to come down there and I am going to give, if you want me to, I will host a full day seminar on podcasting and I'll teach these kids how to do it.
Let's do it.
I would love to come down there and give a talk on podcasting and how great it is. I mean, literally, it's helped my career tremendously. I've done 2,000 episodes. It makes millions of dollars. But more importantly, it helps me connect with the world's greatest innovators, including yourself. So, if people want to learn more, you can do a search for
theoc.net.
Theoc.net. You actually got a link. There you go.
Yep. Theoc.net. We have an app they can download if they'll just search Opportunity fantastic. Central. You can go ahead and, before your visit, pre-plan your food options, you know, figure out what shops you want to visit. So, there's also the site visit information on there. Just hit explore, and we'd love to have everybody out to visit and take something away from Forney.
Theoc.net. Everybody go check this out. If you're an educator, you know somebody who's an educator, send them this episode. They got to see this. And then here's the Japanese amusement park. I just want to show it because I mentioned it earlier.
Oh, I've got to take a look.
It is called Kidzania. KIDZANIA. Here's a little look at Kidzania. And I think they're bringing this all around the world, but it's in, you know, you go to an amusement park and look, they built a little town and you go around the town and you pick, you know, and this is for, you know, I guess kids who are 4 or 5 years old to maybe 12 years old, preteen. And you learn how to be an optometrist. You learn how to drive a car. You just do all adult things. The kids who go to this have more fun at this than an amusement park. Because what do kids want, especially of a certain age? They want to be part of the adult world.
They
want to be part of being an adult. It is part of the maturation process. You're always looking at the kids a couple of years ahead of you and aspiring to be like them. And then when you become a teenager, you're looking at the adults. And when you're an adult in college, you're looking at the people who had successful careers. And when you have a successful career, you're looking at the people who had a successful life. And you're always trying to emulate that next group. And man, I just love what you're doing. I cannot wait to come visit.
We're ready to have you in Kidzania. Actually, was actually the concept behind what we call OC Junior. So the play area we have for our pre-K is a smaller version, but they've got a lot of those careers. And then with that, we actually flip it and we have our entrepreneurial program, actually run that for birthday parties and rentable space in the, on the weekends, just to do exactly what you're describing right there. So
fantastic. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time on This Week in Startups. Bye-bye.